This is the Empty Stands Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of the Empty Stands Podcast. My name is Reward, as usual, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Mr. Albert Nazoth. It's been a while. Where have you been? Why? What are you doing here anyways?
Time zone differences.
Welcome. Good to have you.
Glad to be here, man.
Yeah, and we have a guest today. Well, not so much of a guest. Mr. Casey has been on the pod a couple of times. How's it going? Great to have you on the pod.
Thank you for having me on. It's good to be back on the podcast. You know, it's been like, I think, maybe 9 months since I was last on the podcast, so it's good for you to have me back.
Awesome. We expect a great show. So let's talk about game week 32. I'll start with you, Casey. How was game week 32 for you?
Oh, man. After a high in game week 31, I had 88 points in game week 31 because I vacantly had Foden as my captain. So that was,
wow,
a genius move. He was my captain, so that basically helped me in game week 31. But game week 32 basically tailed down because I had a total of 48 points. And I was one of the few people, or I think majority of the people, that sold Watkins, because he had like a very, you know, very decent average run the last four game weeks prior to that. So I was like, let me just cut my losses.
Yeah,
I was very different. And I went to go get Chris Wood. That, you know, I got 6 points from Chris Wood, but that was way shorter than what Watkins gave. So it wasn't really a good game week. But, you know, at this point, I'll just take whatever points I can get.
Nice. And what's your current overall rank?
Oh, man, I don't think I recall, but I think I'm about maybe 1 point something million. So it's not that good.
I mean, I feel like we're all in the same. We're all shit players. So.
Yeah. Think about it, right? 1 point something million. Like, how many are in the world right now?
7 million. Yeah.
That's poor. That's really poor. But I mean, exacting times come ahead because we have double game weeks announced. We'll get into that later on. But Albert, let's hear yours. How did your game go?
It definitely was pretty average for me. But the good thing about it is that I had Haaland as my captain. But either way, if I had Salah as my captain, I would have still gotten the same 16 points that I got. It was early enough, I was able to put Foden on the bench and not have him on my bench. I was hoping that the likes of Garnacho would step up to that, to being on the pitch for me. But now that was a bit sad. Garnacho giving me 2 points, but I didn't feel this time I needed to have Palmer in my team, and definitely I have Palmer, who gave me 5 points. But overall, one of the surprising players I had was Dubravka, who definitely gave me a whooping 9 points. And yeah, that gave me a boost in my team. So overall, I had 55 points to stand with for game week 32. I'm looking forward to game week 33, and I hope that'll be a different story, all in all.
Interesting. So I had 62 points. I think that was my first green arrow in a while. I was doing really well, and then started getting really ugly for me. So this was my first grin in a really long while. But it didn't feel like a grin because, I mean, so I wildcarded in game week 30, right? And I felt like I had everything in place, right? So I didn't really make any transfers, but Petrovic continues to disappoint. Like, and now I'm even scared he might lose his place as Chelsea's number one. I had Udogie, who Spurs always concede. Like, I don't even know what to do with them. Luckily for Poro owners, he finally scored a goal. So with all his good stats, he finally paid off. But he was way too expensive for me to go for. I feel like people with the Arsenal double defense, Gabriel and Saliba, I think like those guys really did well, because this season especially, I think only Arsenal have been very good with keeping clean sheets. Every other team has been trash. Then I had Ike Nouri. I bought him in last game because, I mean, his stats have been looking really good. He's playing as a striker, but he's a defender in the game, right? And then fate had to happen again. This guy gets injured, I think 50
minutes. Yeah.
And then he gets taken off. Luckily, he had the 4 points, but now he's a doubt for next game week because we don't know. Haaland, yeah. I have Darwin Nunez, who's just, oh my God. the less said about him, the better, because I can't deal. He and Jackson, I have no idea who's worse. Both of them are just...
I think if you have Jackson in your team, it's more from an emotional point of view, because you're a Chelsea fan, definitely.
Oh, sorry, that's one. I can never have Jackson in my team because no. I hate him that much. Yeah. But Darwin, I feel like...
I feel like once every other, you know, blue moon, he kind of gives you, you know, crazy stats. And like you said, with the double game week coming up, it's not a bad tool, asset to have.
Yeah, true. But I'm just not feeling him going forward. Anyways, let's... Game week 32 also brought up some interesting, like you mentioned, Foden got benched after his hat trick the previous game week. Gusto got dropped. We saw Ortega, the City goalkeeper, start for another game. Meanwhile, Ederson has been fit for like two games and he's still not starting. Even in the Champions League, Ortega started again. So I'm wondering, is he now like City's number one? It's just, that's something.
Random people to think about how Pep Guardiola's brain works. I feel like that's a possible question.
I mean, they play Luton next, so I don't know if I feel like maybe I have to go there because Petrovic. So I have Petrovic and Onana, and I don't trust any of them. So, but I don't know who Pep's number one is because Ederson has been fit for quite a while and he's still not starting games. Maybe that's a good segue into Pep Roulette. Let's talk about Pep Roulette. The previous game week, he benched KDB. No, he benched
Foden
and KDB, and then Foden.
Wait, what? So last game week, he benched Foden. Then the previous game week, he benched Haaland. And KDB.
KDB's got a brace and an assist.
Yeah.
The last game, the previous game week, Foden got a hat trick.
Yeah.
Now they face Luton. I feel like they can beat Luton with literally anybody. So Foden came off the Champions League game with a dead leg. I mean, Pep brushed it off and said he'll be fine. It was just a knock. Do you think I don't see Foden playing in this
game? No, but I think right now, because of the tie currently right now, where they are at the table.
Yep.
Chances of KDB playing, because the only reason why he didn't play in the Champions League game
was he was sick.
Yeah, because he was sick.
Yeah,
I know if he doesn't play KDB in this Luton game, he can do without playing KDB in this Luton game, and play the next leg of Real Madrid game. But the likelihood of that, one, you need a fit KDB, so resting him would not give him the match fitness he needs for the Real Madrid game. Yeah. And also with the fact that Foden is injured right now. We haven't confirmed that, but yeah, he came out with a dead leg. But with the with that, like, you also need to play KDB for that Luton game. Why? Because the Premier League is almost being decided right now with Arsenal on the loose and Liverpool dropping points. So he needs all the Arsenal he can get right now.
I don't think he can beat anybody for Luton. The City team is big enough or good enough to beat Luton.
Like, it's an away game, and Luton have had a pretty good reign of form, or vein of form.
City's home, though. City's home. Yeah.
That was away. Well, so basically, even that, like, I feel like the last two games, they've had, like, a very interesting vein of form, because just how they have come back in certain games and played well. Obviously, like, Manchester City are going to be the outright favorites, Foden and De Bruyne. I basically decided to go with a cheaper route, and I went with Foden over the last 2 weeks just because I feel like if you bench Foden, it's not much of a hit to my team in terms of how much lost capital I have spent in comparison to De Bruyne. So it's like, that's a very tough one. Like, and I feel like, to be honest, you wouldn't know until maybe even Friday evening. And Pep being Pep, you'll be surprised. You might use whatever is that kid's name, Rico Lewis, play him as a four.
Definitely. Oscar Bob, Rico Lewis. Yeah. But I feel like they'll play in this game. Virgil was injured in the league game. Right, he came off with a knock, and then he goes ahead to start the Champions League game and scores his dream. So, I mean, who knows? it's just tough to call what Pep is going to do. So I feel like, I don't know. Even Haaland, what if he decides to rest Haaland for my
game? So, like, and that's a question I saw a lot of people asking online and saying, you know, but I feel like, you know, the last three high-profile games Haaland has played, there's a Man City, Liverpool, and I can't remember which one, I think Arsenal too. There's been this whole talk about him, you know, shirking away or basically not throwing himself in a big game. So yeah. I feel like title running coming in, you know, you have, what, 6-7 more games. I feel like Pep now basically is going to be like, hey, man, try his best to give him as much confidence, as much, you know, just he needs him to be that peak Haaland, you know, 2023 form. Game against Luton, especially if it's at home, I'll be amazed. Like, you know, if I don't see Pep saying, listen, man, let's feed the beast.
Yep.
Or a hat trick.
So that's up again. Yeah.
I think Luton is a game that will help Haaland boost his morale again. A hat trick. It's so funny how we're confident that he could score a hat trick against Luton. Just do it quickly. So funny.
Hopefully we don't have fans that podcast because we just, you know, kind of. Yeah.
But my advice would just be wait for leaks, because typically we get leaks. Although the City game isn't the first game of the... That's not the first game. There's a Newcastle Spurs game. But I feel like we could get some leaks. So just wait for Pep's press conference before you make any moves, right?
Yeah. Great.
Let's go over to you, Casey. Talk to us about Watkins. I know you mentioned you sold him. Are you getting him back?
I can't cry over spilled milk. It's such a funny situation because I think my front line now is Haaland, Solanke, and Wood. And I decided to go the differential route with Wood. Yeah. So I'm a little bit torn with Watkins at this point. It's like, I know he's in crazy form. You know, he's also about to break the record for the most goals scored by Aston Villa player since Benteke in 2013, if I recall. The issue there is that, like, I feel like he still has some goals in him, but it's this whole double game week coming up on 34-37. Yep. Aston Villa don't have any double
game. Yeah.
That they're running. They also have Arsenal. I think they have Chelsea and Liverpool in their last games. Two of those guys are basically fighting for the title, so you know you hope for some very stout defending. And that, with that being said, I won't buy him this game week, right? So I'll wait just before game week 34 because I still have a wild card, and I'll talk about that to just if I can just say, hey, like you said, maybe go with the Nunes and maybe have Watkins there, or just basically see what iterations I can go with. But I'll say he's a good consideration to have, just knowing that, like, he's in form.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad idea to try to get him.
Okay. I think this is a nice segue into chips. Let's talk about our chip strategy. Albert, I know you typically wait till, like, the last of the season to play all your chips. How many chips do you have left? And what's your chip strategy for this remaining season?
See, right now, I'm aiming for the double game week of 34, 35, and 37. So, right now, I think that's when my chips are going to come into
play. How many chips you still have left, though?
Well, I still have wild card, free hits.
I knew it.
Yeah. I still have everything, right, for the second half of the... Yeah, I have everything for the second half of the... I didn't see any reason to, because... I didn't see any reason to use them at the moment, and my team has been okay, not the best, basically. But yeah,
well, anything... talk us through, when are you playing the wild card? Are you wild carding in 30? What's your plan? What are you doing?
Okay, now my wild card definitely is going to come in 34. Definitely, that okay. I need to set myself up for success at that point in time. So my wild card actually come in 34, where I know that Arsenal is going to have Arsenal has a double game week. And Liverpool has a double game week, so definitely I need to ensure that I'm boosting on those players. I'm also definitely most likely my free hit comes in 37 also, because it's almost
you still have the bench boost. When are you using that, or you've used that?
I haven't decided when I'm going to use that bench
boost. Interesting.
Yeah.
Typically people wildcard and bench boost, and that's usually in a double game week, but I mean you could have a different strategy. Casey, what's your how many chips you still have left?
So typically I follow what Albert does, but this year I got tempted by, I can't remember when it was, maybe game week 28, and I used my free hit and I so
29, don't worry, I know.
I still have the triple captain, and I have the bench boost, and I have a wild card.
Okay.
What Albert said, I'm going to use my wild card for game week 34. Okay. But I'm going to use that strategy you said, because there's game 34 and 35 that double game weeks. But 35 is interesting because I feel like Chelsea and Arsenal, or Chelsea and Spurs, have double game week 35 and 36.
Yeah.
Very funny. So basically, the way I would do it is like, you know, like he mentioned, Liverpool and Arsenal, because they have two good game week 34s. I think Arsenal. Wolves and someone, and Liverpool is Fulham and Everton. Again, Fulham, Everton, two good games. So I might stack up on the Liverpool, Arsenal players and have a few fringe, sports player. I always have Son, and obviously I have Cole Palmer. So it's basically me trying to put some fringe Chelsea sports players in my bench that I can use for bench boost in game week 35. The only thing I'll say there is, like, and this is me just being radical, and I'm kind of way behind most of my leagues, I'm going to get a couple of Crystal Palace players.
Yeah, for 34. Okay.
I have double game week. I think it's also 34.
Yeah.
It's looking good. He's a good differential. And I like Izzy. Just, you know, I know he's very hit in terms of points, but, like, you know, again, I think they also have a good game week that week. I think Crystal Palace are playing West Ham and Newcastle. So, again,
I think they have the best fixture that double game week.
I also think in game week 37, right? Like, if you do a bench boost, then.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have United. United has a home to Arsenal and Newcastle. Those are difficult games.
Yeah.
So, right now, it might be a bit tricky to have the United players, but have them on your bench just in case. And yeah.
United still manage to score goals. Someone like Garnacho could be.
Yeah, could, yeah. I think Garnacho is one person that has impressed. Bruno hasn't really been the player that is scoring, but has been more of an orchestrator for the entire team, literally. But still gets all the stick for it. But nonetheless.
I mean, I bought Onana for my wild card in Gaming 30, just for Gaming 37. So, yeah, I guess I'm stuck with him. I still have my free hit left and my bench boost. So, the plan is to free hit in 34. Free hit in 34, then I'll bench boost in 37. Free hitting in 34 allows me to take off players like maybe Son, who doesn't double. And I have, triple Chelsea. I have triple Chelsea. Palmer, Gusto, and Petrovic. So I could take them out and then get them back for the double in 35. So that works out for me. Like you mentioned, I really like the looks of the Crystal Palace guys. Eze, Olise is also back, but his minutes might be, that's something to monitor. But yeah. Mateta is also, he's been like really hot on form. But I'll just advise us to be cautious, just like we did in, was it game week 29, when you used your free hit and then that happened. So let's not overlook the single game weekers, because there's always this tendency to go really big on double game week guys and then it disappoints. So interesting weeks to come. Let's see how it goes, definitely. Yeah, let's talk about Brentford, because I feel like people don't speak about them because, I mean, we're all overshadowed by the double game week guys. But if you take a look at Brentford's fixtures, I feel like they have the best fixtures on paper.
Indeed.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Brentford pods? Tony was benched last game week, though, and I found that interesting. What do you think, Casey?
I didn't even check on that, but I don't know why they benched him. I don't know if that was just wanted to give him a break type of run, or if there was just, maybe fitness issues. But what you mentioned about Brentford is, like, if you look at their last six games, based on the fixture difficulty ratings, they have, like, 5-2s, and they have 1-3. The rated is 1 and 2. That means an easy fixture, and a 3 is like a medium fixture. And they have a Sheffield, they have a Luton, they have a Everton and Fulham. So me, in terms of a Brentford punt, I would look at like an Mbeumo or Tony. I just feel like, I don't know what happened that last week, and I need to just check to be sure. But I just feel like that was a break they gave him. But I feel like Tony, the last six games, especially them being in that.
He's been on break for like 1 year.
Hey, man, you never know, man. You never know. He might have come back and said, like, yo, coach, or maybe the coach saw something and I was like, yeah, let me just give him one game breather. But it's like, I feel like Mbeumo, Tony, that's a good choice. Then as a backup, you can always have Reguilon, which I know he had a very funny spell at United, but it's like, he's one of the most attacking-minded left-back out there. At defense, not that great, but going forward, creating chances, putting himself in good positions, I think is a good backup. Those are two, like I said, Mbeumo, Tony, those are two options to consider in your attack. And basically just having Reguilon as a backup is not a bad idea.
Yeah. What do you think about Reguilon, Albert? He had 2 assists last game.
Honestly, it's really sad that it didn't work out for him at United. But it's good to see him put a boost back into his career. So, definitely. He's one of those players that you don't think about. But, like, if you're bench boosting, definitely, you can definitely have him on your bench. Because why? Because if you look at it, having him in your team right now, you see that there's lots of competition within the team, right? Like, one, everyone is looking to ensure that they have that solid Arsenal double, right? If once you have that Arsenal double, then you're looking to see maybe you have the funds for maybe a Virgil or an Udoji within your team. So now you have to make some trade-offs to see if Reguilon would fit into that team or can replace any of those players. Also, from an attacking point of view, now if you look at it, like, once you know your balance with your Haaland or your Haaland and your Watkins, do you have enough funds to have someone like Tony within your team? And right, if you also look at your midfield, like, who do you think would Wissa step in to take over from your current midfield, which could be a Salah or Palmer, Garnacho or Foden?
So he's actually a forward, though. So I would take him at this point. I would take him over Tony, because I feel like he's better value for money. Like you mentioned, he's just 5.7 and Tony is over 8 million. So I'll go with Wissa over Tony.
Oh, why is that? Because I know Tony is literally...
He's the talisman. He's on pens.
Yeah,
but
he's the talisman. He's on pens, yeah.
In the stats, Wissa has been doing well of late. Like, he scored in the last game week.
Tony's
banking for a bit now. So, Wissa is on form compared to Tony. So, if I had to go for a pick in attack between Tony and Wissa, I'll probably go Wissa.
I think sometimes FPL, they just need to review the players, because Wissa is actually a midfielder in the team, but a striker over here. But yeah, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go over differentials for game week 33. Casey, I'll start with you. What are your differentials for this game week?
Like I said, I'm still sticking on this Chris Wood train for now. Or like I said, Mbeumo coming back too is, like I said, is also a good differential to look at. I feel like, you know, this season is one of the funniest seasons in which, you know, you don't really have like a standout differential, like a one unknown player that you can, you know, you've had, you know, what's this kid that plays for Wolves or Livermento that comes out of nowhere and gives you differential numbers like that. So for me this week, and the reason why I'm going with Wood is like I already have him on my team. And like I said, I don't want to do too much shake-up for my team in preparation for game week 34. So I would say Wood or Mbeumo. Mbeumo is still like, I think, 5.something% team selected by. So it's still a relatively low number.
Okay. Albert, what about Shane?
For me, most likely Mbeumo will work for me, basically, at this moment. I think he's one of those players that you can think about right now that could, because looking at looking at the Brentford fixtures, right, is one that you feel they should be able to walk through it. Literally, they should be able to. Brentford should be able to literally walk through that entire fixture. Why? They have Sheffield. They are home to Sheffield, away to Luton, away to Everton. Home to Fulham and away to Bournemouth. It's more like playing with your peers, right?
They're all in the relegation battle, so
yeah, it's more like playing really? With your peers. So
we didn't even speak about Everton. Everton got deducted more points.
I know they got deducted 2 points.
They got deducted another 4 points, so they're just like, I think.
Was this like today or?
No, this week, earlier this week, they got deducted 4 points more.
Myself and Abel, we spoke about
who guess who they're playing against? You remember the last time when they got deducted points and they went on this crazy winning streak?
Yeah.
Guess who they're playing against?
Please tell me.
You can't guess. They're playing Chelsea.
And they're away to Chelsea, man.
You guys didn't mention any Everton players.
The injustice that is happening to Everton right now needs to be reviewed, honestly.
Yeah.
But right now, they're still 16th on the table. So,
you're saying they're basically taking a total of 10 points from them? Because they took 6 at the beginning, 2.
Yep.
Then extra 2.
Yeah. So it's crazy. Like the league title is just mad. And then we have the relegation battle is even madder. And I'm like, wow. Because now I can't even call. At some point, we thought Burnley and Sheffield were out of it, but they're right back in it. So who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, myself and Ebuka, we spoke about the relegation also. We had our picks already because Sheffield and Burnley. We already have them off. Right now, we're looking at Luton and Nottingham Forest fighting it out. Apparently, our picks on we hope that Everton doesn't get relegated because they have a stronger team and I think more experienced manager that could help them.
Yeah, the EPL guys are just against them because I'm like, the punishment is just ridiculous at this point. I don't see them surviving anyways, but let's see how it goes. For my own differential, I was going to go with Diogo Jota. He's back. He's training for Liverpool. So we're recording this on a Wednesday. On Thursday, Liverpool play in the Europa League, right? Yeah. So we should watch out for that. I feel like Jota and Trent could start that game. And if they do, I'll definitely jump in on the Jota hype train because I was on it before he got injured. And he's a way better striker than...
Unis.
So
that actually bothered me for quite a while. The fact that Nunes will have the chance to play when Jota is injured and wouldn't perform.
Nothing.
Then once Jota comes in, he just benches Nunes straight up, man.
Yep. So I really like the looks of Jota. There's also I mentioned Trent as well. Trent is his back. So for someone like me who owns Bradley, that's a sticky situation because I don't know. But I don't think Klopp would put Pep Trent right in, so maybe he might ease him in. But then I was hoping to have Bradley for the double in Game Week 34, but now I'll have to reconsider that. Anyways, moving on to captaincy. I feel like captaincy isn't as straightforward as it might be this game week. Who are you captaining, Casey?
I'm going off of the logic of myself. I feel like, you know, Pep just needs to, you know, Pep's going to try his best to boost Haaland's confidence. Pep is going to try everything possible to just make sure, you know, everybody, KDB, whoever plays, to try and feed him the ball. So I'm just going off of that crazy wager and saying, Haaland, hat-trick, I'm going to go with him for my captain.
Interesting. Albert?
Yeah, I'm on that train also, but with a caveat, right? I'm going to wait till the final minute. Till the final minute. I'm going to try and ensure that Haaland starts. Like, because if he doesn't start, there's no point of him being the captain, right? It's just wasted. Because you don't want him to start, then come in. If he doesn't start and he's on the bench, you're like, no. Then he brings him like, nah. Just so right now, I have both Haaland and Salah. So Salah for vice captain, Haaland for captain. At the last minute, so once I'm able to find out, like, I can switch that up fast, like, without even thinking. Because also Liverpool have faced Crystal Palace.
Yeah, but Salah,
as much as that could be a walk in the park, also I think Crystal Palace would be able to learn their lesson from last game that they played with Man City, which was they were really wasteful. They started off good, but they were really wasteful in that game. Hope they could learn. They can learn from their mistakes and play better than they played.
My bus captain is currently on Palmer. Chelsea play Everton at home. I don't know. I also like the looks of Son against the leaky Newcastle defense. Because at this point I'm chasing, so I don't think I need to do something different to be able to catch up. So I don't mind going going rogue here. But
Spurs is a way to
Newcastle. That's a good Newcastle are so leaky. Like, their defense has been ravaged by injuries, and I don't know how they kept a clean sheet the last game week, but they somehow did. But I don't think we can survive Spurs. So that game feels like a 3-3 or 4-3 kind of game. So I like the looks of Son. Salah, I'm not sure. I don't think he's been extremely wasteful.
Yes.
So I don't think I can go Salah. Saka, typical fashion. We saw him limping again. This guy just keeps, he limps and then he plays. But and Aston Villa, like, terrible defensively as well. So, and Douglas Lewis is out injured. So that could be a good fixture for Arsenal too. Captaincy splits this game week. So,
honestly, I think holding on to Arsenal assets in this game week would be good for game week 34 because of their double game week.
Funny idea I have. So I have two free transfers. And I mean, I have to use it because I'm going to use my free hit next game week. So I have to use my transfers, else I'll lose it. And I don't see myself owning Saka after game week. Of course, I'll get him on the free hit for 34.
Yeah. But
from 35, I don't see myself owning Saka anymore. So I'm actually thinking of selling Saka this game week. I mean, so if we hear news that KDB starts, I could probably go there.
If you sell Saka, who are you going to replace him with?
KDB.
KDB?
If he starts, yeah.
I said, the issue I have, because I was I've always been a big KDB fan. The issue I have is just the premium. I'm getting the cost there. So like me saying, if I'm spending 10 point or 11 million on KDB and Pep does what he does, it's like that 11 million, is like I could have bought two players.
Right.
Make me, but it's like, I can see that. I just feel like the game against Luton is like, because, there's been grumbles in Man City, and I feel like everybody that watches, football knows that, like, there's a way Man City can grind teams. They don't play they play good football, but not the most exciting. But I feel like that game is like a statement game, which Pep is saying, hey, we got 6-7 more games left.
Right.
And you guys, Yes, and because you know Pep is not as bad as Klopp when it comes to bringing a team. Klopp is like, his team is 3-0. He's like, keep on.
Yeah.
Pep can be psychological when he
basically games. Yeah.
Exactly. He picks the games in which he says, like, bro, go full throttle. I don't want you guys out there. Just go out there and just thrash him. Let's set that pace for the next 6 games. So, like I said, if KDB starts that game, Haaland starts that game.
I'll
go for KDB one if I hear that he's starting, because
they know how to grind out the games. So,
as against Aston Villa, what if Saka gets benched again?
I don't hope they don't get benched.
Well, let's play a game. So each of us will pick a player that we think would score the most points this game week. Maybe I can go first. I'll go for Mbeumo. Yeah, he's playing Sheffield at home. He is back. He looks on it. He's on set pieces, corners. Yeah, against Sheffield at home. Brentford really need that win. It's like a relegation 6-pointer. So I'll go for Mbeumo. Casey?
Because you brought up Son, and I have Son on my team. I can go for Son. I'll go for Son. It's an early kickoff, you know, away to Newcastle. Like you said, they have a crazy defense. Spurs, you don't know which Spurs team comes up. It's like, you know, they decide to just go.
Yeah.
And be like a high-scoring game. So I'll just go with Son.
Okay. Interesting. Albert?
Most likely Bowen.
Bowen?
Yeah.
Why Bowen? West Ham barely score goals.
Honestly, I had Palmer in mind, but I think once you pair West Ham up with their counter, I think once those mid-table teams, like, or those almost mid-table teams come together, there's always that. It's that rally for different for goals, right? So one thing I know about Fulham, they can push you to score goals because they also score goals too. So if Fulham does 2-2, West Ham does a 2-2, or West Ham does two goals here, one goal here, we'll just end up seeing a game of 4-4, and most likely the person that is going to be at the forefront of that is most likely Jared Bowen.
I don't see West Ham scoring 4 goals in a game.
If I was also second, I think also Palmer on my end, maybe just to balance it out. Because Palmer looks like the only
Chelsea.
He looks like the only hungry player in
competition without Palmer. That's how bad it is.
The good thing about the one thing that I see in Palmer is that despite the fact that he's on pens and he also creates and he scores also like normal goals and also creates for players. So that's one thing,
Right, and with that we've come to the end of the show. Thanks Casey, thanks Albert for joining me once again. It was really great having you guys here. Let's do this again sometime soon. For our listeners, please like, subscribe, comment, share with your friends and families. It helps the pod grow, it helps our ratings and stuff like that. So do remember to like, comment, subscribe. Till we meet again, here's wishing you guys green arrows. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
All right, cheers, guys.
Bye.